The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's the cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and my partner, Wynn Carpenter. How are you, brother?
I'm doing just dandy. How about you?
I'm doing okay. And we're here with Liam, our faithful producer. How are you, buddy?
I'm great.
Thanks, Liam.
Yeah, I got you.
If you didn't listen to the program previous to us, Poke the Hornet's Nest, I suggest you go to the archive and listen to it. Some pretty good information there. And we are broadcasting live from KCNR Studios, downtown Reading. 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, 1460 AM.
In the Crystal Palace of Knowledge.
Oh, can you say that again?
Palace of Knowledge.
Oh, that's a good slogan.
I like it.
We have Rich Gallardo with us, so he'd like that, too.
I like it.
And we are also podcasting, streaming worldwide at KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com. And if you have a question or comment, phone number is 530-605-4567. So I want to, first of all, wish Rally Sally a happy birthday. Happy birthday, baby.
Feliz cumpleaños.
Happy birthday, Sally, and happy birthday to my son.
Right. And, Richard, I found out when you were on the radio the other day that you're Spanish.
Español. Sí.
Can you speak any Spanish?
Sí. Puedo hablo español.
All I remember is the swear words.
Those are the first ones always. Me too.
That's all I remember. What'd you say, Mom? I guess we can do that. We have fun with that virtually. I mean, Liam would never know.
They can't censor
never know.
Us
do you speak Spanish,
know what
Liam?
We're saying.
I don't speak Spanish, but I'm sure I can figure it out.
No, because you don't know. I could be saying "Have a good day." I could be saying "I hope you enjoy your lobster." I could be saying a lot of stuff.
We can't get Liam in trouble. We don't want to get him in trouble.
We won't get him in trouble. Anyway, we're here with Rich Gallardo, Rich has been a great asset to our community. Works on everything, works tirelessly, and one thing I really respect about you, Rich, is what a great father you are. How you've gone into the school system, you've dove into that with passion, you've dove into that with integrity, and you're really going for it. And you're sort of taking the lead here in Shasta County on getting people elected to the school boards. Do you want to elaborate on that a bit?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for having me here. I'm trying to reach a different audience to get some folks to run for local school boards. Obviously, this push started a couple years ago with the COVID, the masking, the social distancing, all the, and in my opinion, it wasn't the virus. It was the reaction to the virus that was ridiculous. And it was only a couple of months after the virus came out. Even I was a little afraid for a while, but it only took 4 to 8 weeks roughly for the alternative media to bring out the truth of the virus and the reaction to the virus and the pseudoscience that was being used. So once that happened, yes, I did go to my school board, and I've been active with my kid's school board at Pacheco. He's been there 7 years now. And they're a good school board, by the way. They're doing the dance. They're trying to keep the parents happy, the state happy, the kids happy, and that's a tough thing to juggle. But I did go there, and they never did shut down at Pacheco. They went hybrid immediately, and that's fine. Parents had a choice, and that's what this is all going to be about in the end. It's going to be choice. But years ago, I was fighting Common Core before it came in mandatory. Into the state. I was going around with a group fighting Common Core. We obviously lost that. But so I've been involved in the school, the parental school connection thing for several years now. And again, with my background as military police in California, I can read the laws and regulations and interpret them and see if they're being used or not used, or should we even follow them in the first place? That's a whole nother discussion, but.
Do we have to?
Do we have to? No. Absolutely not. It's called Peaceful Nullification. That's another another show.
Ooh, I like that. Peaceful Nullification.
Yeah, from Chris Sandhall. Or Peaceful Noncompliance. So, yeah, I've been involved for a while. So now, you know, again, getting back to what's going on with the school boards nationwide. Nationwide, all the parents saw this ridiculousness. And, you know, we're 2 years into going to our local school boards.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, can we change this? Can we not do that? Right? Let's do this. Let's do that. Here's some alternative information. And my school board is very nice, by the way. July of 2020, I went in front of that school board, and I gave them a 15-minute presentation, which I believe made an effort, made a difference, because right after that, they went into closed session with their lawyer regarding if they were going to close the school or go virtual or combination or whatever, and they decided to do hybrid. So I think that was – I had an effect there, which is good. I was just presenting facts and data
right.
that you're not getting from the mainstream media. So this push is nationwide. All over the place, people are wanting to take their school boards back now, right now.
Mm-hmm.
The November of 2020 elections for school boards, they were kind of ignored at the time because the virus was still kind of in its – it was it still had some force and some power and some fear and all that. So the November 2020 school board elections really didn't do anything. But now that we're a year, almost 2 years past that, now the parents are saying, yeah, we were hoodwinked, and our boards are complicit.
Mm-hmm.
And complicit meaning they failed to act. So even if you take an action as a board, that's an action. If you fail to act,
that's
inaction.
How many people in the community are actually involved on the school board? What's the approximate amount? And how many school boards are there?
There are approximately 41 school boards in Shasta County, which is charter and public, and charter is also public school. There are approximately, I never counted, there's approximately 200 or so seats on all of those 41 boards, because the majority of those boards have five people on them.
Right.
Some of them, a couple of them are a couple less, a couple of them are more, because they're a large district, but there are approximately 94 of those seats up right now.
Oh, so 94 people could get elected into those seats.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
Almost half.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk about which districts we want to concentrate on this cycle, because there are some we need to concentrate
what,
on.
What are absolutely. The filing dates?
And so, so first of all, if anybody wants to run for board, I would like them to get a hold of me, first of all, with my email, rjgallardo, G-A-L-L-A-R-D-O, at protonmail.com. Please email me. I will get you in the loop on the information. I'm trying to get 94 people to run for these board seats. Absolutely. I'm not going to say how many I have now, but I do have some. And I had a meeting yesterday at Jones Fort. I got a few more. Good. And this is going to be a word-of-mouth grassroots effort. So anybody that thinks they know, even if you don't want to run, folks that are listening, if you know somebody else that has a quasi-interest in a school board, you don't have to have kids in the system. Okay, there are some requirements to run for school board, and we'll talk about that. The filing date, the filing period is open now. It opened last Monday, so six days ago.
Okay.
And it expires August 12th. Or if no incumbents file or nobody else files for a particular seat, that will extend to August 17th.
Oh.
So we're in the filing period now. And so anybody that's listening, if you have a neighbor, a grandpa, a mom, dad, doesn't matter, right? So the requirements, and I'm gonna correct one thing I said yesterday on the radio on another show. I said you did not have to be a registered voter to be a school board member. That's incorrect. Ed Code 35107 says you must be a registered voter to run for school board. Now, not all elected offices are that way, where you actually have to be a registered voter. You just have to be an eligible voter. But for school board, it's in the Ed Code. You must be a registered voter to run for school board. And so you can register to vote the same time you're filing to run for school board. So just do that at the same time.
Great.
So, yeah, we're trying to just get some more folks to start running. And getting back to the whole nationwide push, you know, this is there's a lot of groups. Nationwide, statewide, regionally, it's pretty much me. I kind of took the bull by the horns here, Shasta County-wide. But there's groups called Let Them Breathe at the California state level. That's a private group. There's what was the other one called? Lance Christensen, who is running for state superintendent. He is a part of another group. Sorry, I don't remember the name at the moment. I'll maybe get that after the break. But there's about three large groups statewide that are also trying to get parents to run. They're doing online trainings. They're doing seminars online for people how to file, what to do, how to do it. So there's a big push in this state also, no different than the rest of the country. So that we're in a very unique time in our country's history with regards to school boards. I think our focus on our school boards are going to be like no other time in our country's history, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you said you had a training yesterday?
I had a meeting. It wasn't a training. So it was a follow-up to the training that I gave at the Freedom Coalition about 3 weeks ago.
So are you going to do another meeting or training?
I'm going to I have not secured Jones Fort for next Saturday, but I'm going to try to secure Jones Fort for next Saturday for another 1 p.m. meeting. And that's just for anybody to show up. Even the people that have already seen my video, my training, and all that. So I'm basically doing follow-up. I'm doing follow-up for the folks.
What exactly is the jurisdiction of the school board? Because a lot of people that would want to run for it, what kind of impact can the school board have?
The school board has immense power because they're an elected body. They're an autonomous elected body. And their authority comes from the state and the federal constitution. Once they're elected in office and they swear an oath to those constitutions, that's all you need. You've been elected by the people, and you've taken your oath to those two constitutions. You're done. Yeah. That's all you need, and you have immense power. And for far too long, and probably nationwide, school boards have not been taught, they have not been shown what authority they have. And they have immense authority. And I've been doing some copious research into the education code because what I will be doing once the filing period ends and I have the list of the folks locally running for school boards, I will be conducting additional trainings for those people that are now running for school boards. And I will go into the ed code, the government code, and all the laws that say what you can and can't do. I'll be talking about peaceful noncompliance. I'll be talking about all kinds of things. So there's still a lot of work to do, but I'm going to help empower these folks that want to run for local school boards. And, the jurisdiction is they're over they do curriculum. They set their curriculum. Even though the State Board of Education, by the way, 11 unelected bureaucrats.
Of course.
Unelected. Unaccountable to the people.
Yep.
And 11 of those are trying to tell 5.8 million kids what they're supposed to learn. Yeah, I don't think so.
They're appointed by the governor? Is that what
they're there's a variety. The governor gets to appoint one or two of them. So certain legislatures in our state House and Senate, there's some sprinkling around where the appointments come
from.
So
that explains right then and there what the whole problem is.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. No, absolutely it does.
So if we take local control and our local parents and people that are on the board locally, they take control. And can they not get the funding directly from the county instead of going through the state? Because the county puts them, gives the money to the state, and it comes back to the schools.
Yeah.
Can we not just cut the state out of that loop and do the funding directly from the county to the schools?
Well, can we and should we? Yes. In practicality, to put that on the ground and make it actually working, that's a whole nother battle.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother battle.
It's a battle worth fighting.
Absolutely it is. So getting back to jurisdiction, the State Board of Education and the CDE, the California Department of Education, so they kind of oversee the public schools in California.
Okay.
And again, the State Board of Education, 11 unelected bureaucrats, right? So first of all, for me, that says, all right, they're going to give us guidance and directives and policies and that. I would say let's take those into account before a local board makes a decision on a matter, but you do not blindly follow them, even if they say you will or shall or must. You say, no, absolutely not. We're the elected body here at the local school level.
Right.
We will make the decisions. And there's actually ed code that supports that, believe it or not, that the local school board has the full authority and autonomy to make such decisions. So curriculum, the school board sets policies for that school district, whatever, right? It doesn't matter. Policies, procedures, they hire the superintendent. They set the superintendent's salary and the contract. So the school board, they are the authority for anything happening on that district.
And they also fire the superintendent if necessary?
Fire, et cetera. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Just making sure.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And getting back to...
That's the superintendent of the school, though.
Right. Correct.
Right.
The school district.
Yes.
The school district.
Right.
Absolutely. And then once the superintendent is hired, he then has delegated a lot of authority and responsibility to do other things, hiring the principals and the teachers and such. But the board has still I said delegated, right? We know about what delegating is.
Yeah, the higher power.
That's a temporary authority.
Right.
The school board is the ultimate authority.
Right.
For everything.
That's right. Like the state is for the federal government.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that school board can make decisions that the state does not like, that the federal government does not like.
Right.
Now, there will be political and financial ramifications because, unfortunately, the system is set up that way.
Right.
The system is set up, here's your money, do what you're told or else. And that's unfortunate, but that's the reality.
I have a question about that.
Yeah, blackmail.
You know, there's something else, too, that that I think needs to be addressed. I know that there's been a lot of parents, and I know that, you know, there's you've heard a lot of this. They'll go in and try to talk to a school board. They just don't, they're not heard, or they aren't even allowed to really go in and offer input. What role do you play as a parent as far as influencing the school board?
That's a really good question, and I'm going to cover a law here in just a second that regards to that. So the school boards are supposed to listen to the parents, the neighborhood. They're supposed to listen to their superintendent, get guidance from the superintendent, the principal. They have a lot of people they're supposed to take input from, and obviously the parents. And believe it or not, even the kids, right? The kids are the ones that are the recipients of what the board does. So absolutely, they should listen to the kids too. And
Do you have like a public comment period during the school board meetings, or how does that work for the folks?
So local school boards are covered under the Brown Act, which I have intimate knowledge of the Brown Act. So basically the same rules apply as if you were going to a county board meeting or a city council meeting. And the school boards can set time limits for public comment and all that. Most school boards don't really hold you to the time limit. I say most because I've been to many school board meetings in this county in the last couple of years, trying to educate them on the COVID and the fraudulent COVID response and all that. I will say this. My opinion is these larger school boards that are run by liberals, they're going to hold you to your 3 minutes because they don't want to let you free speak, we'll call it. My board, the Pacheco board, that I have been going to for my son, they've been very nice. When I show up with facts and figures, they've given me almost free rein. I've done 14, 15, 16 minute presentations for them. But you know, when you're laying down facts and data that are getting your attention, they pretty much don't want to stop. They're like, hey, yeah, right. Their mind's saying, give me more. I want to hear this because I've never heard it anywhere else.
Right.
So the Pacheco board's been really good. And so related to that, folks, I'm just scrolling through here to find the law, but a parent may request to a school board that a parent puts an agendized item on their agenda.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That is absolutely in the Ed Code.
Very good.
If you go to your school board agenda and read that, some of their agendas will say, the public may put items on the agenda. Some of the school board agendas do not have that verbiage in there, but the Ed Code does, Education Code.
So that
and I've done that several times.
And that trumps it if they don't have it posted, right? I mean,
the Ed Code is the controlling document, correct? So even if the school board doesn't put it in writing that the public can put things on the agenda, the Ed Code controls that. So
is it always better to email or mail a letter in to request that?
Absolutely, do everything in writing.
Yeah, have your paper
trail. Absolutely. So go to the district superintendent, clerk, secretary. I don't know whatever they call them these days. So go to the district secretary and request for an agendized item.
Right.
You know, pick a date. Pick a topic, but make sure that topic is under the jurisdiction of the school board.
Absolutely.
If it's, you know, if you want to talk about, you know, how many trees and birds and all that, the school board secretary is probably going to say, no. Let's talk about something about school board matters related to this district.
Correct.
So they pretty much can't turn you down if you can tie it to that district.
That'd be good. Okay.
So, so folks, so do that, go to a school board meeting, see how it works. If you see some issues that you'd like to speak about and the school is not speaking about it, then you put it on the agenda. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's very powerful.
You know, you were talking about that the school board has the actual jurisdiction over the curriculum, you know, maybe over things like critical race theory. Do they things such as, the sex education for 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds, and explain that a little bit and what folks can look at once they run for school board and what they can actually affect.
Yeah, and that's actually kind of a long conversation, but I'm gonna kind of keep it in a nutshell here. There's a lot of things that are brought in, again, through the State Board of Education or the California Department of Education that are given to the schools. And the school has the 100% autonomy to choose that curriculum or not. Now, we live in a criminal state. Our criminal legislators, they yes, force sir. Things upon the people by yep. putting them into law. Yep. And we all want to be law-abiding, right? Well, this is actually tied into school board runs. We need to change the paradigm about, well, don't be afraid to be called somebody that's not law-abiding.
Okay.
We got to change that paradigm. When a criminal state passes laws, and the laws are criminal, right? They're unethical, they're immoral, they're unconstitutional. So why do we want to be law-abiding by following a criminal law?
Makes us criminal.
So this relates to school boards because when the state passes a law such as the California Healthy Youth Act mm-hmm. about 5 or 6 years ago, so what the California did is they inserted I shouldn't use that word when I'm talking about sex ed.
You could have said it in Spanish.
I could have said Espanol. Por favor, habla Espanol. So they put in the California Healthy Youth Act, they put sexual education, and they put some very vile, my opinion, vile, disgusting things into California Healthy Youth Act. The key here is under the normal sex ed that most kids get about seventh or so grade, the parents must affirmatively consent to those kids getting mm-hmm. that particular education.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's still in the law. I'm sure that's going away soon because everything's collapsing. But under this California Healthy Youth Act, they're getting a sex ed information in there, and there's no parental consent required. Zero. There's what's called active consent and passive consent mm-hmm. in the ed code. And that's one thing. We'll talk about this maybe the second half hour, but the active and passive consent. So that's one of the things that are happening, and the school board should say, you know what, that's not right. That's not right. You're putting in basically sex stuff, and, you know, I don't want to get graphic on today's show, but
we'll do that on a podcast.
Yeah, we'll have to do that on a Monday, but they're putting stuff in there that's inappropriate. It's inappropriate whether the parents give consent or not right. in a conservative county. And so the school board can say, you know what? We're not doing that. We're not going to follow the California Healthy Youth Act when it comes to this particular sex ed. The school board can pass a policy to make that part of the Youth Act, California Healthy Youth Act. They can make that part an active consent item, as right now it's not a consent item at all. So there's things that they can do. And the state's not going to like it, but the school board can say, no, I'm sorry. These kids are not going to be exposed to this stuff, number one, without parental consent. Or that they can just say no.
Okay.
We're not doing it at all.
That was what I was going to ask. So they could choose not to participate in it at all, period.
They can, and then the State Board of Education is going to say you're violating the law because the Ed Code says you shall give the California Healthy Youth Act in total. And so now's the political and financial ramifications are going to start happening.
And that's when our school board goes to the press and says, we are being forced to do this.
Yeah.
So you
show them a couple pages of the curriculum in the yeah. California Healthy Youth Act.
Yeah.
And any parent with, three brain cells to rub them together is going to say, that's not appropriate.
That's right. And so the school board needs to step up and have a spokesperson
yeah.
amongst the board as yeah. a voting member of the board
yeah.
to go out and to do those things yeah. if necessary.
Yeah, so okay. There's just so much in our curriculum now. And again, the school board can say they're either not doing it outright. They can put in some roadblocks and speed bumps to help, shield and
sure.
slow down the exposure of this stuff. There it is again. I can't use that word.
Yep, that's right.
So the school boards can put things in place to either stop or slow things down.
Well, I think we're going to go off to our break, but I like okay. the idea of talking about active and passive consent. I think yep. that's really important.
Yep.
And Rich, great information already. We'll be back in just a few here. Time has come.
4:51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew. A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
I'm just flesh and bone, heart and soul, and I've earned a couple scars. I've lived once in a lifetime, kind of things slide right out of my arms. I struck out, I've been knocked down four times and I can count. But that don't matter now, 'cause when you smile, I see the sun sink down on the coast out of California. And there's no doubt, because of you, I'm not the man I was before you. I'm not saying that I'm perfect, oh, 'cause girl, you know I'm not. But I'll love you with everything I got. Girl, I'll give you my best shot.
Good one. Good song. Sally Lou do that one?
Yep.
Yeah.
That was a Sally Lou song.
Well done, Sal.
We're back. Okay, we are back here broadcasting live from KCNR Studios, 96.5 FM. So if you heard that song, it sounded better.
There you go.
It did. 1460 AM. We're streaming live on KCNR1460.com. And our phone number here is 530-605-4567. We're here with
Ricardo Gallardo. In Espanol.
Si.
Si.
I almost came up with one. I almost remember something my mother would say when she was mad at somebody.
Uh-oh.
Somebody.
I know, one of those. You've heard
Terry?
That.
Somebody being Terry?
Huh?
Somebody being Terry.
Somebody being Terry, yeah.
Okay.
It has to do with your derriere.
Oh, yeah.
And kissing. Anyway, so.
Besa mi culo.
There you go.
There you go.
I can say that.
You can. We can say that all the time. So, anyway. We can have a lot of fun with that, brother. Okay, anyway. Getting back to our conversation here, we're here with Richard Gallardo, who is a wealth of information. He's been spearheading Shasta County when it comes to the school boards and getting people involved and engaged to protect their kids. And one of the things you mentioned was the idea of, the active and passive consent. And we were talking about the school boards. You want to go into that a little bit? I think that's an interesting dynamic.
So active consent, that is where the parent has to affirmatively put their signature on a piece of paper to allow something to happen to their kid in school. Passive consent, that is where something will happen to your kid in school unless the parent puts a signature on a piece of paper. So those are the two kinds of consents with regards to what happens in school. And again, just because the state passes an education code that says, okay, this happens with passive consent, this other thing happens with active consent, and a bunch of things, consent's not even mentioned. It doesn't mean that the local school board can't put in active or passive consent. Absolutely. They need to do that, honestly.
They need to have documentation on everything to cover their butts on some of the stuff so that
Yeah.
They do have signatures from parents saying it's okay no matter what the issue may be.
So let's tie this into the Ed Code. So check this out. This is a beautiful thing. So our California Constitution, right, well, there's two of them. Second one I think was 1879. But those documents as written were pretty darn good, right? If you haven't watered it down 500 times, if we were still following the original California Constitution, we would be in a really pretty good place. The original document's actually pretty good.
You're right.
California just
The original Constitution is fine. Yeah. Okay, so, and same with the U.S. Constitution. Unfortunately, we only have, 27 amendments. A couple of them are bad, but you know, if we would, so the way that works is when California law is written, so let's say the penal code, the educational code, doesn't matter. When a new chapter is written into one of these codes, let's say the education code, when a chapter is written in, there's usually that chapter begins with a few codes, basically to set the administrative environment, the ground rules,
right,
for the rest of that chapter.
Right.
And so typically when you read these, the information in those initial codes setting the baseline for that chapter is usually pretty good. So this kind of relates to the California Constitution. Okay. The original document's pretty darn good. It's when you start watering it down that things go sideways. So check this out. In the Education Code 35160, legislature finds and declares that school districts, county boards of education, county superintendents have diverse needs unique to their individual communities and programs. Moreover, in addressing these needs, common as well as unique needs, districts and county boards and superintendents of schools should, that word is key, should have the flexibility to create their own unique solutions. Now that sounds great, right? That basically says each district superintendent has their own unique needs and they should be able to create their own unique solutions. That's a beautiful paragraph.
Yeah, absolutely.
The problem is all the Ed Codes that have been passed since that, which basically
nullify it.
Go number two on this one.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
All
don't,
over.
Don't urinate on me and tell me it's raining.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
So there's some good things. And these are the codes that the school boards, when we have the people set for running for school boards, this is a training I'm going to give to these people. Say, look, here's the law that says you have the authority to do things. Now, maybe the law 5 pages later in that very same chapter said it now contradicts what this paragraph that I just read to you.
Right.
No, you invoke that first paragraph and say, no, this says I have the authority and autonomy to create my own unique solutions for our own unique needs, period. End of subject. Next topic, please. So I'm going to be giving this training. And these are, like I said, this is a beautiful thing in here. And people have forgotten this. The school boards, right, they're not taught this. The superintendents, most of them are decent people. I say most because some of them are evil. But most of them are good people. You know, they want to do the right thing for the kids. But their morals and ethicals and principles are not rooted in the right things, whether that be religious values, whether that be constitutional values or whatever. They're just kind of going along to get along, right? Remember the money.
Yep.
Right? So there's a lot of beautiful things in this law. And sometime before the end of the hour, I do need to speak on a couple of specifics about how people run and where they go and stuff like that. But whatever other questions did you have initially there?
Well, no, I think that you just segued yourself into what we should be talking about.
Okay. So, again, we're in the filing period now.
Yep.
So the lady's name is Mary Paul. She's at the registrar's office, 225-5730. Give them a call, or you can email her at mpaul, P-A-U-L, at co.shasta.ca.us. So get a hold of her, phone or email. It's about a half-hour process to sit down and file to run for a local board race.
Does it cost anything?
There are optional costs, but there are no mandated costs. So you can run and actually spend nothing. The optional costs are for your candidate statement, which is basically your 200-word commercial that you're going to write to try to sell yourself to the voters.
Right, that, that goes in the book along with all the other candidates running for any other office.
It can. So the optional cost is $150 to get your candidate statement put in the electronic system online.
Gotcha.
And then the other optional cost, it's kind of spendy, is $750 to get your candidate statement in that very thick candidate guide that comes out about the same time as the ballots.
Okay.
Now,
$750.
Now, when you're running for school board, the people who would be electing you would only be the people within that particular district, right?
Correct.
Okay, on your voter's guide, and you would only have those people on the school board that pertain to you if you live on J Street.
It's the same thing as far as...
like supervisors?
Yeah. You're only going to, your voting base are the people that can vote for that seat. Some of the school districts have areas or geographic districts.
Okay.
Some of them do not. So it's unique to each school district. And I don't have all that information, so Mary Paul does. Mary Paul has all that information. So if anybody wants to run for one of their local school boards, and you're going to be in several area locations as far as school boards and districts. You'll be under an elementary district. You'll be under a high school district, and some of those are unified, such as Gateway Unified. And then you will be under a county area. So you're gonna be eligible to run for at least two school boards.
Oh.
At least two. Now. And again, remember about charters. They are a public school.
Right.
And charters have boards. So you can also run for a charter. So the school districts that have no geographical restrictions are called at large.
Okay.
So if there's So like Gateway Unified north of Reading, they have areas. They have a geographical area. So Buckeye is a geographical area where they have two board seats that are specific to the Buckeye area.
And so it's almost like a district broken up.
It is. It is.
All right.
And then there's other school districts that do not have areas. It's at large. So I don't have it in front of me, but let's just say I'm pretty sure Anderson does not have geographical restrictions. I'm pretty sure. So if there's three board seats up for Anderson High School District and six people are running for those three seats, well, the top three vote getters get the three seats. It's similar to Reading City Council.
Gotcha.
It's called at large.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Now, the other question I have about that, when you talk about the people who are running, is there a salary involved? Is there any kind of compensation involved or anything being on the school board? Is there any monetarial thing that they get?
Okay. There is a possibility for a stipend. There's no salary.
Gotcha. That's what I was.
In the ed code, there is an allowance for school districts, the board. Again, the board has the power. The board has the power to enact these stipends.
Okay.
And the stipends are dependent on the school student body population. And it's in the ed code. So, and what I was reading, most of our school districts we're in a small, we're in a small county, 180,000 people,
right.
26 or 28,000 students in public school, just public. So I've been doing copious research on the California Department of Education website in the last few weeks in anticipation for my run, because I am running for County Board of Education Area 2. So we have about 26 or 28,000 public school students in Shasta, by the way. So the school board can enact a policy for that stipend for the school board members. And in this county, because of the school district population sizes, it's going to be anywhere from $100 to $200 per month to attend school board meetings. So it's maybe gas money, depending on if you're driving a gas guzzler or not. But
yeah.
So there's a little bit of money there.
It's not even an issue, really.
It's not an issue.
No. Gotcha.
Nobody goes into school board to make money.
No, now, exactly.
A lot of people are under the impression that the superintendent of schools of the county has a lot of power, but from what you've taught us this morning, it sounds to me like the school board actually has more jurisdiction and actually a broader base of power than the superintendent of schools. Is that correct?
Yeah, the school board's the final authority.
Gotcha.
And they create, the school uses usually an attorney to create a contract for a superintendent.
And do they know that?
Does who know what?
The school boards. Do they know that? I mean, by their actions,
no.
From what we've seen over the past couple years.
Correct. We talked about this towards the beginning of the show. Most school boards do not know the authority and autonomy that they have. No, absolutely not.
Okay,
that's why we're in the system, the predicament we're in.
Okay.
Because they don't know.
Okay.
We're changing that nationwide. Remember, we talked about that.
Right.
This is changing nationwide.
Okay,
This is great because you've had a lot of people, when you mentioned COVID and what happened, a lot of people, when their kids were home, they could really see what was going on.
Yep.
And that created a lot of activity amongst moms and dads.
Yep.
So that does increase this position for Shasta County.
Mm-hmm.
So you were saying that we have probably 94
seats
up.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that somebody should do? Like, is there something really that maybe three key things that people should be looking at when they're running for the board?
Yes. First thing is keep track of who's running for a school board that you're interested in. Whether you filed or not, we're still in the window to file. Just this past Friday, Mary Paul, on the county elections website, she has now put a link on that county election website where you can track who has filed for local offices.
Very good.
And she is likely going to, I would say they would probably update that every day as they have changes.
Okay.
And so you'll go to the county homepage, and then on the right, click on elections. I don't have it open in front of me. I don't want to do that.
Have you started a website for this stuff? Do you have anything for it? Because it seems like it's going to be, even when people run, it'll be. Have you started anything on that?
I started a spreadsheet to track who's filing for certain offices right now.
Okay.
And I'm going to research each individual to see if they're an incumbent or not an incumbent. And then I'm going to put out an email to a lot of our Patriot friends. To also track this link as daily as possible, because there's going to be some people inserting their names into these runs that none of us have ever heard of before. And likely these people are this is a hard thing to say, but if we see a name that's going to run for what's going to be a contested board, and let's go down that list real quick. So Shasta County Office of Education, Shasta Union High School District, Enterprise District, Reading School District, and possibly Grant School District. Those are going to be the school boards in this county that are going to be contested. Those are the largest, most powerful school districts, either by size or by political accoutrement. They're it. The rest of them are just as important, but politically, those are the ones that we're going to have the contest in. So if we see some no names getting inserted into these particular races, I'm going to be doing research on these folks, because the political activity we've had in the last couple of years in Shasta County, which has been a lot, obviously, the recall, the primary, the COVID, the board meetings, everything. Yeah. If somebody's name shows up, and those of us that have been very active, we don't know who they are, that's going to be concerning.
That sends up flags.
Because if they show up out of nowhere, and all of a sudden they want to run for school board, well, what have they done in the last 2+ years at a public level to help fight for anything?
Yeah.
Help fight, period.
Yeah.
So that's going to be very suspicious to me, and I will be researching those people. And then another thing we can do is we don't want too many like-minded people fighting for the same seat.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right? Chris Kelskin would tell you about this.
Right?
It waters down the votes.
Yes, sir.
And then the good candidates are not going to outright win their races.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's another thing I'm tracking with my spreadsheet. And I'm asking all the other people that are filing or intend to file to start tracking that. And when I did my filing paperwork the other day, there was some verbiage in there. I don't remember it exactly, but it said something about not withdrawing from the race or not withdrawing your candidacy or something. I don't know. A bunch of, Barbara Streisand, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I'm going to tell people. Okay, if you accidentally get 2, 3, or 4 excess people like-minded against the establishment, you absolutely go in there and withdraw. They absolutely have no legal basis to tell you cannot withdraw from a race.
Right.
And so that's going to be very key for this cycle is on August 12th.
Well, we had a candidate running for supervisor who withdrew, but her name was still on the ballot and still
counted. Yeah, it still was there.
Well, I'm talking about withdrawing prior to the August 12th deadline.
Oh, I see.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, that's important to know.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
I'm talking about withdrawing by close of business August 12th.
Right.
Gotcha.
And then that way all those names are pulled off and they will never show up on an election document or website ever.
Okay, gotcha.
So that's the key here.
I guess the question is it maybe even a Facebook page, maybe that's a bad example, but something to where people can go and you can give them 5 points on what they run on and just like the information you just gave, which is great. I mean, the idea of for the parents of the active and passive consent, those kinds of things. So is there anything, are you guys looking at anything like that? Because this could be an ongoing thing for a while.
Well, it will be.
It will be.
And, the website is an idea I've looked at. I've already created a couple social media pages for my school board run.
Sure.
And I'll get that out eventually. I've got business cards coming and such. But Right now, what I'm doing for all my training, all my, the meetings I'm having at Jones Fort, and all that, it's basically word of mouth, via social media, via email. I'm not creating a one-stop shop at this point, on a website for these matters. Because once people come to me and want to be part of this process, then now I put them on my email list, and then they're kept informed in that respect as far as, you know, what information's going out and where to meet and get more, you know, questions and answers and such. So that's a good idea. But also I'm getting ready to go back to work here pretty soon. So my time,
no,
so my availability is going to start being kind of reduced, but no, that's a great idea to do that. But again, that takes time. That takes time, which is, for some of us, we're going to have less of soon.
Now, what about, like the background checks and stuff? Do you have to have that done prior to the election?
At some point, each school board member, likely after their win, that's my understanding. If they're selected, that's when the school district is then going to be required to run a background check to make sure they're not a sex offender or whatever.
Okay.
But up to that point, the school district has no obligation.
Yeah, there's no jurisdiction.
There's no obligation because that person doesn't work for that or isn't going to work for that district.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, I would say probably at that point, that's when they'll just do a simple background check, make sure you're not a registered offender.
Okay.
So, but it's just, this is going to be interesting, to say the least.
Yeah.
Just the link that was posted Friday from Mary Paul on the current candidates that are running. And it started, there's about 13 board members that are listed there, along with city councils and such. But
now, you had mentioned earlier, sorry, I didn't mean
to. Go ahead.
You had mentioned something that I thought was interesting. You said maybe some of the incumbents won't run.
Correct.
And that was something you mentioned on the other radio program. Can you elaborate on that for a minute or two?
Most of these incumbents, I will say most, and I think I'm fair to say that, most of them are just there to perpetuate the system, to go along, to get along. They're not there to create controversy, make any bold decisions or anything. But because of the environment we're in nationwide for parents, we're pissed. I can say that. We're pissed. Okay?
You can say whatever you want.
When
we have
when somebody like... Especially like me, right? I'm the bull in the china shop. Yeah, I'm coming for County Board of Education. Yeah, hello, Judy. I'm coming for you. Yeah, I just said it. So there's going to be some board members that don't want to have that aggravation. They don't want to have that contest. They don't want to have that debate.
Right.
So when they see names being filed, they're going to be like, oh man, the easy time is over. I don't get to show up and shake hands and have a coffee and say I'm doing something when I'm really doing nothing other than perpetuating the system, which is a abysmal failure.
Yep.
Those people are just going to walk away.
You were talking about a debate. You're right about that. But you were talking about a debate. I think that's a marvelous idea.
Oh, yeah.
Now, for what you're running for, and you're running against an incumbent, I think that not only a debate would be really good, as soon as one could be put together, but it'd be also a template where other people could say, this is a good question to ask. Mm-hmm. This is something.
Yep.
It could be a teaching process as well. What do you think?
Yep. So, yeah. And so Arthur Gorman and I, we filed to run for County Board Area 2. There's two incumbents that also filed. I have to look up. Yeah, they're also Area 2. So there's two incumbents. They've been there for years and years and years and years and years. So they're just establishment folks, right? And they know better, right? Because they've been there longer than me. So they know better.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, experience, right? We're going to go down that road. Oh, they're experienced. yeah, you're experiencing the abysmal failure. Yeah, you're experiencing masking the kids, all right. Yeah, the parents don't want that anymore.
That's
if you're paying
right.
attention, people. So
yep.
Anyways, and often I have this conversation. Once the filing period's over and we know who's going to run for what, then we're going to be challenging these folks to a debate.
Okay.
Absolutely. Very publicly challenging them to a debate so that if they refuse or abstain or, oh, sorry, last minute, something came up last minute, whatever, you know, that they'll pull a Modi and say, oh, sorry, something last minute, emergency family, whatever. And they're not going to debate us. Of course not. We will eat their lunch.
Now, with that, okay, you have the school districts, which are all over the county, but then you have the SCOE, which is Shasta County Office of Education.
Right.
Now, is that broken up into the districts that are numbered by the Board of Supervisor district numbers?
No.
Oh, so totally
no, the County Board of Education areas are totally separate.
Okay.
So Area 1 is basically the majority of the city of Reading and a little bit of weird northwest up through Keswick kind of a weird arm that goes up to Keswick.
A gerrymandered arm?
It kind of it sure looks gerrymandered.
Okay, just throwing that out there so everybody just understands.
Throwing that out there
everywhere.
And then the remainder of the county board jurisdiction is called Area 2, and that's the rest of the county.
Oh, okay.
That's the rest of the county. And 5 of the 7 SCOE board members are up this year. 5 of the 7.
Wow.
They're not doing a 4-3 rotation such as a normal 7-member board would.
Wow.
They're on a 5-2 rotation, and I've confirmed it already with SCOE. I've confirmed it with Mary Paul. They're on a 5-2, so 5 of them are up right now. We can take that board over in one fell swoop.
Okay, so with that, is it majority in Redding, or is it the majority of the District 2 that you're talking about, which is the rest of the county?
So all 3 Area 1s, which is City of Redding,
okay,
are up for election. And we need people, by the way. Anybody listening, we need 3 candidates to run for Area 1.
Okay.
And so you're gonna have to live in basically the City of Redding, roughly, and a little bit up northwest towards Keswick.
Okay.
And then 2 of the Area 2 seats are up for election. And Arthur and I have filed for those already.
Great.
We're already on the list.
So Arthur Gorman.
For Area
1. Arthur Gorman.
Great man.
For Area 1.
Great man.
Area 2.
You're in Area 2.
I'm just on the other side of Area 1. I'm just outside of Area 1. I'm actually in. Yeah, so I had to file for Area 2.
Okay.
So we've got Area 2 covered, but we need 3 people to run for Area 1. The SCOE board, even though its jurisdiction is limited over the other boards. In fact, they don't really have jurisdiction. They have administrative oversight. That's what the SCOE has over some of the other school boards.
So they do
specifically financial
paperwork.
Specifically financial budgetary oversight and assistance.
Okay.
But it's a politically very powerful board.
Okay.
Okay. And again, that gets back to the other school board seeing the SCOE as a superior being, which they're not. The
kinda
school
like,
board.
Kind of like federal government.
It is.
Kind of like the federal government. Exactly.
Let's use that to our advantage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's use that to our advantage. If a SCOE board of education, we get that board and we take that over in January, we can do some very powerful things.
Absolutely.
The other SCOEs in the state would be like, wow, look what's going on in Shasta. And then all the little school districts are like, wow, look what the SCOE's doing.
Yeah.
So it's a very politically powerful in that respect.
Okay.
So, yeah. So we need people to run for Area 1. Please, please, people.
So if you're in Area 1, you're within the city limits of Redding?
It's not, again, the lines are not, jurisdictional lines, right?
The way they find that out is to call Mary.
Call Mary.
Call Mary.
Give her your address and she'll tell you what district.
Yes, okay. She'll tell you which school districts or areas or boards you're living within that you can run for. Absolutely.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's
okay.
Mary's job, by the way. That's her first job. She is the candidate liaison.
Okay.
So she will happily do that. And you can send her the email, too.
Mary is a very nice lady.
She's very nice.
Yeah.
Goes above and beyond.
Yes, she does. Yeah.
Yeah, I know things that she's done above and beyond that I will never say publicly. good things.
Ditto.
Good things, by the way.
By
the way. She absolutely cares about her county and making sure that things are done thoroughly, properly, and that all the questions are answered.
There you go.
She's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
She absolutely is. So lots happening, lots going on. I will be, again, I'm going to try to solidify another Jones Fort meeting for next Saturday at 1. So that's not official at the moment, but, as this grows, again, I will, once the candidate filings are completed, then I'm going to be holding some training.
Well, we've got 2 minutes. Can you give the people again how they get a hold of you if they're interested and what that information is?
Yeah, so get a hold of my email, rjgallardo. That's rjgallardo at protonmail.com. Get a hold of me there. Tell me you want to run for a school board or you're interested. I'll throw you into my email list, and then you can hop on there. And I'll send you the link to the training that I did roughly 3 weeks ago at Freedom Coalition. That'll be the good start.
Okay.
Just so people can find out how to run, where to run, what to do, and all that. And then they can start coming into these meetings. I'm going to be doing trainings.
That's great.
Perfect.
So that when people start going out to campaign.
Yes, sir.
And if they win a seat, I'm still going to be highly involved after they've won seats. We'll put together an unofficial coalition.
Okay.
With school board members throughout the county. You can do that. And there's some Brown Act issues there, but we'll make sure we're good there. But
awesome.
This is going to be an ongoing thing. Even after we take some of these seats back, there's going to be an ongoing educational process, Q&As, and here's what you can and can't do, and here's what you should and shouldn't do, and all that. So It's gonna be a process.
Yep. Talking about ongoing. You're gonna be hanging around here at 11 o'clock. So on Sovereign Minds, the second hour, Rich will be back again, and it's gonna be great to hear this stuff. It's been very informative. If you're a mom or a dad or a parent or grandpa or grandma, send this information out that you've got on this and make this program, and please share this program. Rich, thank you, brother. Thanks for all your hard work.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Shasta Regional Medical Center.